For our text this morning, just as a starting point, we read from Hebrews 13, verse 7. Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. On this Reformation Sunday, I want to remember Martin Luther, and I can't think of a better way to start our meditation than to sing the first verse of Built on the Rock, page 645 in your hymnal. We sing verse 1. On November 10th, 1483, the church was struggling. The Bible was generally not read, and even where it was not well understood. Law and gospel were largely confused. People longed for rest, but were driven to their good works. But their good works never seemed sufficient. It never seemed to achieve the peace with God, and indeed, they were not. On November 10th, 1483, Martin Luther was born, and though his birth was not a noteworthy event in the little town of Islenberg, Germany, in time, this man would open the pages of the Bible and help the church recapture its central teaching that we are saved by grace, through faith in Christ. It's good for us to remember. It's good for us to remember our history, because it's history and memory that hold the church together. The Gospels themselves are a narrative that recalls the work of Jesus for us. Without knowledge of Christ's work, faith cannot exist. Without a vivid memory of the past, the ties hold us together as people of God are severed. The story of Jesus is told by human beings, yes, often jars of clay that are easily broken, but simple human beings nonetheless. And so today we remember God's work through his humble servant, Martin Luther. We do this not for Luther's sake, for he's not the point. We do so to remember how faithful God is in maintaining his church and keeping the promise that was given to us by Christ himself. The gates of hell shall not prevail against Christ's church. Martin Luther was a simple man, and today it's hard for us to think of him like that, given that we know what an enormous role he would play in world history. But he was born into a family of modest means in completely unremarkable circumstances. Luther's early years are full of stories of developing character and at times extraordinary events. The story of the thunderstorm that drove him into the monastery where he cried out, "Help me, St. Anne! And I will become a monk." I'm sure nobody here has ever cried out to God for help and promised something. But momentous life-changing events such as these, as significant as they are not what really set Martin Luther apart. What set him apart was his deep love for the gospel, which he discovered later in life. After years of struggling to achieve a righteousness of his own, the Holy Spirit opened the scriptures to him and showed him that the righteousness of God was not something that Luther merited, but was, in fact, something that Christ had won for him and for us by grace. This was truly good news, great news, then and now. The Reformation today is still all about Jesus. And Jesus is what we all still need. Historians tell us that Luther's world was steeped in ignorance and superstition. Most people had little or no knowledge of God's word because most of them could not read and Bibles were expensive and scarce. While today we have easy access to God's word, basic human nature has not changed. We are conceived and born in ignorance and superstition. We deny our sinfulness and our rebellion against God. But in that purposeful forgetting of our own past, we show that people today are spiritually really no different than in Luther's time. When Martin Luther rediscovered the gospel, he sought to reform the church, not overthrow it. He was not seeking to start a new church. He wanted simply to reform the existing church, to draw it back to the pure gospel of God's grace in Christ. He invited church teachers and leaders to discuss these vital questions. That's when he nailed the 95 theses on the Wittenberg door. Today, we might post it on social media, but in that day, they nailed them to the door and said, "Let's have a discussion." So from tiny Wittenberg, off the beaten path in Germany, grew a movement that has not stopped, a confessing movement that seeks always to underscore these truths of God's word. We are freed from all sins and guilt solely by the grace of God, which is in our Lord Jesus Christ. We receive forgiveness of sins. We receive life. We receive salvation simply by believing this good news. Sola gratia, by grace alone. Sola fide, by faith alone. Sola scriptura, by scriptures alone. Solus Christus, because of Christ alone. Luther pointed only to the one of humble and miraculous birth, Jesus Christ, true God and true man. Luther preached nothing else but Christ, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, was an incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man. We confess that on alternate Sundays in the Nicene Creed. And so today we look only to Christ. We know, as St. Peter teaches, that no human being is justified by works of the law. Do not look to the world to be justified. Don't look at the strength or weakness with which you believe to be justified. Don't look to the things you do, including coming to church regularly. Do not look to the good works you do for your neighbor to be justified. Don't even look in your own heart to be justified. Looking to ourselves only shows us that we have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, that we've earned God's displeasure, anger, and wrath. When we look to ourselves, we find no comfort there, no forgiveness. There's only bondage to sin. So we look to Christ and Him alone. Jesus Christ is your comfort. Jesus Christ is your hope. Jesus Christ is your joy. See that He has done all things well for you. He has earned God's favor. See how He has kept the law in our place. See how He has earned heaven. See that Jesus alone, by His suffering and death on the cross, appeased God's anger and turned away His wrath. See that He does all of this for you, in your place. By His work alone, we are saved. In John 8, Jesus, the Son of God, has set you free. And if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. God did a great work in the Reformation, but it is work that is never done. Time marches on, and therefore we must never be complacent. A little more than 4 years after Martin Luther's death on February 18, 1546, a group of his followers fixed their signatures to one of the more significant yet lesser known documents in the Lutheran tradition, the Magdeburg Confession, April 13, 1550. It identified Luther as God's own prophet, the third Elijah, who had recovered the scriptural confession of Christ crucified and risen again. And there are good reasons people made the connection between Elijah and Luther. In the biblical narrative that you can read in 1 Kings 17 to 21 and 2 Kings 1 to 2, Elijah appeared from nowhere to challenge the religious status quo. Martin Luther did the same. Elijah was outspoken and confronted the religious political leaders with their departure from God's will. He bluntly told King Ahab that he had broken the laws of Moses in confiscating his subjects' inherited property. He challenged the false prophets of Baal. He spoke directly with courage and conviction to those who were persecuting the faithful and proposing all sorts of false religious beliefs and practices. Martin Luther did the same. At Worms, Luther stood before the Holy Roman Emperor himself and refused to deny what he had learned from the scriptures. And I paraphrase, "Unless I am convinced by the testimony of the scriptures or by clear reason, I am bound by the scriptures. I cannot and I will not retract anything. I cannot do otherwise. Here I stand. May God help me." Luther also reminded people of the second Elijah, John the Baptist. John's message was simple and straightforward. Repent and believe the gospel. When Martin Luther posted his 95 Theses on October 31st, 1517, the first one read this way. Our Lord and Master Jesus Christ, when he said, do penance, willed that the whole life of a believer's should be repentance. God, through Martin Luther, began the Reformation by reminding people that the life of a Christian should be one of continual repentance and faith. And both John the Baptist and Luther pointed only to Christ as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. The Lutheran Reformation was about Jesus Christ. It still is today about Jesus Christ. For many years, the old German periodical of the Missouri Synod had as its theme, God's word and Luther's doctrine shall endure now and forever. That's a big claim. But again, it is not because of Luther or anything that he said or did that we are remembering today. It is because what Luther taught and was drawn from the pure font of God's word. Luther's role was to recover what had been confused and uncover what had been obscured. And that was simply the gospel of full and free salvation won by Christ's suffering, death, and resurrection. So it's not surprising that on the front page of the periodical, the picture of an angel and our text for this today was Revelation 14, 6-7, which reads, then I saw another angel flying directly overhead with an eternal gospel to proclaim to those who dwell on earth, to every nation and tribe and language and people. And he said with a loud voice, fear God and give him glory, because the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him who made heaven and earth, the sea and the springs of water. Already at the time of Luther's death, Some, including his pastor, Johannes Bugenhagen, saw the fulfillment of Revelation 14 in Martin Luther. Again, not because he was less of a sinner or greater in God's eyes than others, but because of his bold proclamation of Jesus Christ as the one who won forgiveness of sins for us. Not with gold or silver, but with his holy, precious blood and his innocent suffering and death. That is why we remember the birth of Martin Luther today. God used this humble man from out of the way Wittenberg to shine the light of the gospel brightly into his day and thankfully into ours as well. It is good that we remember Martin Luther's birth. It is even better that we remember and believe in the one to whom Luther pointed, who Luther always pointed, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.